This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus solely on Jesus' parable of the weeds among the wheat in the gospel reading, which is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and verses 36 through 43. There are two apologetical topics that this parable gives us opportunity to focus on: the reality of hell and the problem of evil. I'm not going to read the parable in its entirety. Rather, I'll highlight the specific verses that are relevant to our topics. Let's start with the details of the parable that relate to the reality of hell. After stating that there exists weeds that grow along the wheat within the kingdom of God, Jesus says, quote, "Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn." That's verse 30. Then, in explaining the parable, Jesus comments, quote, "The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." Now, there are a couple of details here that suggest the reality of hell. One might think Jesus' statement about the evildoers being thrown into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth, is a slam dunk for proving the reality of hell. But someone might counter and say that this could refer to temporary suffering, something akin to purgatorial pains, not the eternal suffering of hell. Now, I think there are two details that we can appeal to in response to this and in support of it being a reference to hell. First, notice that the weeds, those who cause others to sin and all evildoers, will be, quote, "collected out of the Lord's kingdom and thrown into the fiery furnace." To be out of the kingdom cannot be a reference to something akin to purgatory, because those who are in purgatory are in the kingdom, just not in its perfected state. They're members of the mystical body of Christ. So if we interpret this separateness as definitive, then the evildoers are in hell. Now, someone like a universalist might challenge the definitive nature of the evildoers being separated. Perhaps these evildoers, so the argument might go, are only temporarily separated from the kingdom, like a Christian who is temporarily separated from the kingdom when he commits mortal sin, but then is restored through the sacrament of confession. In response, there's nothing in the text that suggests those who are taken out of the kingdom are put back in. In fact, the flow of the narrative suggests that the being taken out is permanent. The whole parable is about the weeds existing alongside the wheat for a time, and then eventually separated from the wheat and put into separate places. The parable wouldn't make sense if Jesus intended the separated weeds to eventually be put back alongside the wheat. But, someone might counter, you're assuming that the weeds stay weeds. A universalist could argue that the weeds eventually become wheat due to God's grace. Again, there's nothing in the text to suggest that. Nowhere does the text say anything to suggest that the weeds become wheat. Since there's no evidence that the weeds are changed into wheat and thus put back into the kingdom, we're justified in interpreting Jesus' parable according to its natural sense. Namely, those who cause others to sin and evildoers will be definitively separated from the kingdom of God. That's a state of existence that we call hell. There's another detail that suggests the reality of hell, namely the binding or tying of the weeds into bundles there in verse 30. St. Thomas Aquinas picks up on this in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. He argues that this is the same imagery used in Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, where the man who didn't have his wedding garment for the wedding feast is bound or tied and cast out from the wedding feast. The same Greek word deo, to bind or to tie, is used. In this parable, it's clear that the bound man is excluded from the wedding feast in a definitive way. Jesus says, quote, "Many have been called, but few have been chosen," close quote. This implies that some will not participate in the wedding feast. Given that the wedding feast is an image for heaven, it follows that some will not be chosen for heaven. Like the bound man who is permanently excluded from the wedding feast, the weeds that are bound in Jesus' parable of the weeds and the wheat will be permanently excluded from the barn. Given that the barn is an image for heaven, where the wheat are, like the wedding feast, it follows that the weeds, or the evildoers, will be permanently excluded from heaven. That's a revelation of hell. The next topic is the problem of evil. The detail that's relevant to this topic is Jesus' teaching to allow the weeds to grow up alongside the wheat. Given that the weeds symbolize those who cause others to sin and evildoers, this is a direct revelation that God wills to permit evil to exist alongside the good in this order of providence. But of course, this raises the question, why? St. Thomas Aquinas, again, in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, gives us four reasons why evil men should not be wiped out for the sake of good men. That's how he puts it. Here's his first reason. He writes this, "Good men are exercised by the evil." In other words, for Aquinas, good men themselves are sharpened in goodness by the evil experience. Also, their goodness is manifested. Aquinas quotes 1 Corinthians 11:19 in support, for support, where Paul says, "For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." Aquinas also quotes Proverbs 11:29, which states, "The fool shall serve the wise." And to illustrate this principle, Aquinas gives the example of the knowledge of the saints. He argues this, quote, "If there had not been heretics, the knowledge of the saints, of Augustine and others, would not have shone forth," close quote. This being the case, Aquinas concludes, hence, he who would wipe out evil men would wipe out many good things as well. The bottom line is, you get rid of all evil, you get rid of many good things along with it. Since it's a good thing to keep the good things, it's okay to not wipe out all the evil. That's basically his argument there. The second reason Aquinas gives for why evil men should not be wiped out for the sake of good men is that sometimes a person is evil for a while, eventually, and then eventually becomes good. Aquinas gives the example of Paul, arguing, "If Paul had been killed, we would lack the teaching of so great a master." Again, much good would be wiped out if evil men would be wiped out. And just a thought here, this actually ties into what I was talking about earlier about the weeds existing alongside the wheat eventually for a time. That's the time where the weed could possibly become a wheat, right? The time of repentance, the time of change. That's the time for the change, but subsequent to that or after that time, at the end of time, when the harvest has come to fruition, there is no longer a time for the weed to become a wheat. And thus, yet another suggestion where you have a permanency of the weeds being separated from the wheat, and thus a reference to hell. Okay, getting to a third reason that Aquinas gives why evil men should not be wiped out for the sake of the good men is, he says, because some men seem evil and are not. Now, Aquinas doesn't elaborate on this, but perhaps what's behind this is the church's teaching that someone can commit an objectively grave evil act and yet not be guilty of mortal sin, assuming that neither full knowledge or deliberate consent is lacking. In this scenario, the individual, in reality, wouldn't be one of the evildoers who is bound and excluded from the wheat in the barn, although it might look as if he should. This line of reasoning fits with the quote from 1 Corinthians 4:5 that Aquinas uses to end his thoughts on this reason, where Paul says, "Therefore, don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart." The point here is that if the harvester were to get rid of all that he thinks is weeds, he may end up getting rid of some wheat. Now, someone might counter and say this line of reasoning might apply to a creature wiping evil men out, but it wouldn't apply to God, since God would know who is not guilty of mortal sin. And I must admit that this is a fair challenge to this line of reasoning, since within the context, Aquinas does seem to give these reasons as to why God permits the evil to exist alongside with the good. Right before he lists the reasons, he writes, "The Lord puts up with many evils, that many goods might come, or also lest they perish." So if we apply this line of reasoning to God, I don't think it really works. However, if it applies to human authorities, well, then I think the line of reasoning would apply. Moving on to his fourth reason he gives is that sometimes someone has great power, so if he were to cut off, he would drag many with him, and thus with the evil man, many would perish. It's hard to know here again exactly what Aquinas is getting at. He gives an example of a congregation not being excommunicated with their priest or a people not being excommunicated with their prince, but that's not much help. Does he mean that if a bad, powerful man is wiped out, his fellow bad men would not have a chance to repent? If so, then that's the same as the second reason that he gave. Does he mean that if a bad, powerful man is wiped out, generally, good people might feel sorry for the bad man being wiped out and adopt his evil ways? I admit I'm not exactly sure what Aquinas means here, but at least we can say that if all evil were wiped out, many good things, including good people, would be wiped out as well. And that's something that we can run with. In fact, that's our Lord's explanation to the question of whether the weeds should be pulled. Jesus answers, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. And there, Jesus' answer is applying specifically to the apostles, right? Or the harvester weeding, the harvesters weeding out the weeds, not in due time, before due time. So it's possible this would apply specifically to human authorities, in which case some of these lines of reasoning would work. If we apply it to God being the harvester at the end of time, then some of the lines of reasoning would not work, but others would work as well. The bottom line is, with regard to God, you wipe out all evil, some goods would be lost as well. You would not have some particular goods in this order of providence. But given that God wills some particular goods to exist within this order of providence, with that comes the permission of evil. And so that would be a way that a path a Christian could take in response to the challenge of the problem of evil. Well, the gospel reading for this upcoming 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year A, gives us an opportunity to reflect on two important topics, the reality of hell and the problem of evil. Two topics that are indeed related. As always, I want to thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well. Also, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting catholicanswerspodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.